The eighth and last step in the Beatitudes and the recovery process of becoming whole again is yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. The last step is based on 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 and 6 in the New Living Translation. God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. So when we are weighed down with troubles, it's for your benefit, so we can be an encouragement to you. Many of the problems and the heartaches and the troubles and the pains that we experience are really for other people's benefit. After God has taken you through a problem, he then gives you, as a servant of God, to take that and he gives you the ability to help other people that go through the very things that you've been going through. God comforts you so that you will turn around and help other people. I've read that one way that you know that you've recovered emotionally and spiritually is when you stop focusing on yourself and you start focusing on other people. Do you get that? When you know that you have recovered emotionally and spiritually, it's when you stop focusing on yourself and you start focusing on other people and what they need. You want to help others. You see, God never wastes a hurt. We're talking about how God uses the problems and the troubles that you've faced. Don't waste your pains. Allow God to use them to help other people. Because the amazing thing is this, when you start focusing on helping others, God assumes the responsibility for healing in your life, and he takes it to a deeper level. The eighth step is God wants to use you to bring healing to other people. God will use you if you're willing to honestly share four things that we looked at three Sundays ago. Number one, how pain got your attention. Pain is a great attention getter. That's for sure. Proverbs 20 and verse 30 says, sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. God uses pain to get our attention, probably more than anything else. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. We're so afraid of changing that we seldom change until our fear of change is exceeded by our pain. Don't waste your pain. So the first one was tell how pain got your attention. The second one we looked at was tell about the lessons that you've learned through that pain. What did you learn from the pain of your mistakes? You see, true wisdom learns from experience, but it's even wiser to learn from the experiences of others. Three things God wants you to learn from your pain. First of all, learn to depend on God when you're in pain. You don't know that God is all you need until God is all you got, one person has written. You don't know that God is all you need until God is all you've got. God wants to teach you that he can be depended upon in every kind of situation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, and He will deliver us. You see, God teaches us that He is loving, He's caring, He's honest, He's dependable, He's just, He's loyal. God can be counted on. He's wise and He is fair. God will take you through certain situations so you can learn those things about Him. The second thing that we learned is that learn to obey God's word. You learn to depend on God, and then you learn to obey God's word. You see, when I do it God's way, it always works out. But when I insist on my own way, that's what messes me up. Learn to obey His word. David says in Psalm 119, verse 71, it was the best thing that could have happened to me. He's speaking of a problem that he faced. For it taught me to pay attention to your laws. Life is a school, and problems are the curriculum. Life is a school, and problems are the curriculum. In human nature and in human behavior, there are some lessons that we will only learn through failure. The third thing was that learn that you need other people. Learn that you need other people. Have you learned that you need people in your life? You see, we weren't meant to go through life isolated. You need other people in your life. That lesson is one that you usually learn through pain. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 11 says, remember that in God's plan, men and women need each other. To grow and to be whole, I need godly people in my life. Now, is there somebody in your life that loves you enough that they are willing to point out something that's wrong when they see it? We'll never be all that God meant for us to be if we don't open ourselves up to other people. God wants to teach each of us a lot about ourselves. And you know how He does it? He does it through other people who love God and who love you enough to point out your blind spots. And if you keep yourself closed off, then you're only hurting yourself. You need other people in your life to whom you are accountable. Now, how many times have you tried to change your life by yourself and it just didn't work? You need other people who will love you, who will care for you, and who will hold you accountable by uncovering your weaknesses and your blind spots. Most of the time, we're not willing to face the truth about ourselves until we're forced to. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Recovery is done in community. It's done in a group. It's not just a single process of just me and God. It's me with God through God's people. So I need to learn the lessons so I can share them with others. There's no situation in life that you can't learn from if you'll just ask the right questions. What are the right questions? Well, whenever you're going through pain or a difficulty or problems or a hurt, whether it's your fault or somebody else's fault, don't ask why. Don't ask why. Ask what. Ask what? Not why is this happening to me, but what do you want to teach me, God? What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to change? What difference do you want to make in my life through this difficulty I'm going through? When you share what you've learned, you will help others. Father, as we look to these last two points this morning, that you will speak to our hearts and help us to understand more fully than ever before how we need to allow you to use our difficulties and our hurts to help others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God wants to use you and your problems and the hurts in your life to help other people. And he'll do that if you share the third thing. The first thing is tell how pain got your attention. The second one is tell about the lessons that you've learned. And then the third thing is how does God bring good out of bad? Tell how God brings good out of bad. God specializes in bringing good out of bad. One of the classic promises is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28, and I hope you've memorized that. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. This is a phenomenal verse. I want us to look at it word by word. First, notice it doesn't say God causes everything to work out the way I want it to. That's not reality. Everything does not work out the way I want it to. God doesn't promise that. You see, this is not heaven that we're living in right now. This is earth. It doesn't say God causes everything to work out to have a happy ending here on earth. That's not true. This is a fallen, broken, corrupted world. Boy, we're finding that out this year probably more than any other year we've lived. What does it say? First, we know. We know. We don't just wish. We don't imagine. We don't desire. It says we know. We are confident. We are assured. We're certain. Well, what is it that we know? We know that God causes. God causes. There's a grand design and a grand designer behind it all. You see, your life is not the result of random chance or fate or good luck or bad luck. This is a grand design. History is his story. It's not by chance and it's not by accident. It's not by good or bad luck. God has a design and he's the designer. We know that God causes. God causes. What does that mean? It means that we make mistakes, but God never makes a mistake. We know that God causes all things. What's included in the word all? Everything. Does that include my mistakes? Yes. Does that include my sins? Definitely. Does that include my stupid decisions? Yes. Does that include things that are painful, like cancer and miscarriages and accidents? Yes. How about hurts caused by other people in our lives? Yes. Divorce? Death of a friend or a family member? Yes. Everything fits into God's plan. Even the bad things God will use for good. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. It doesn't say everything in life is good. Leukemia is not good. Abuse is not good. Kids getting strung out on drugs or running away from home, those aren't good. There are a lot of bad things in this world. Does it say God causes all things to work together for good for everybody? No. This is not a promise for everybody in the world. It's for those who love God. For those who love God. This is a promise only for those who have taken their lives and put them into God's hand and said, God, you take all the pieces, the good, the bad, the ugly, and you work it out for good. God works for good in the lives of those people. And I'll be honest with you, if you've not done that, if you've not placed your life in the hands of God and trusted Jesus Christ for your life, all things are not working together for good in your life. In fact, you're living in opposition to God, and you have not committed yourself and your ways to Him. God created you. He loves you. He formed you. He has a plan for your life. In effect, you're saying, forget it. I'll be my own God. One day, when you accept God's grace and love and forgiveness, and you open your heart to Him and you say, Lord, I want to be what you made me to be. Then from that moment on, He says, all things start working together for good in your life. God has a plan, and He will bring good out of that plan. The scripture says they all work together, not separately. There's a lot of bad things in life that individually are very distasteful. Let me give you an example. How many of you like chocolate cake? What would it be like to eat the individual components of a cake before it's baked? Not very tasty. You take the flour and you eat it. By itself, it's pretty dry and pretty dull. Raw eggs, yuck. Crisco, double yuck. Even one cup of sugar, one whole cup of sugar, by itself can make you sick to your stomach. How about unsweetened cocoa? Bitter. But when you mix all that stuff together and you bake it and it results in a delicious birthday cake, it all worked together for good. There's a lot of things in your life that are distasteful. A lot of things in your life that might be flat out bitter and don't taste good. But God works them all together for good. And if you give Him the pieces of your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, can God bring good out of evil? Absolutely. Was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ evil? Yes. Did God bring good out of it? I definitely say yes. Through that evil event, God provided for the salvation of everyone who would trust in Him. God specializes in bringing good out of bad. In the Hebrew and Jewish culture, the family tree was usually traced through the males in the tree. But in the genealogy, the family tree of Jesus Christ, there are four women who are listed. Very contrary to the Jewish tradition. These four were used by God to bring the Messiah into the world. But when you realize who these four women were, it's even more amazing. There was Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba. Let me tell you about these four women who were in the family tree of Jesus. Tamar's husbands both died. And because they died, the tradition was that the father of the last one was to provide another husband for her. Well, her father-in-law didn't do that. He neglected that. He ignored it. And Tamar played a trick on him. I'll just put it that way. Pretty bad trick. And Tamar eventually gave birth to her father-in-law's twin sons. Rahab was a prostitute from a nation that was very hostile to Israel. Ruth wasn't Jewish either. She married a Jewish man, and according to Jewish law, that was an illegal marriage. And then there was Bathsheba. She committed adultery with King David, who then had her husband murdered. Not exactly sterling citizens, were they? But they were the ones that God ultimately chose to bring Jesus into the world as part of his family tree. Can God bring good out of bad? For sure. Maybe you've had some problems in your life that you're ashamed of. Can God bring good out of them? Absolutely. Think of the biggest mistake you've ever made, or if you've never made a huge mistake like these, think of the biggest disappointment that you've had. You know, the thing that you regret, you think the thing that you wished had never happened, God knew about it long before you were born. So he created a plan to bring good out of the bad. If you'll just give yourself to him, he will do that. What a God we serve. God is bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your pain. He's greater than our selfishness and arrogance. God can use it all for good if you'll just give it to him. This is how realistic and optimistic you can be about your life. Realistic about the pain and problems that you've faced, a few of which maybe you brought upon yourself, but optimistic because you know that once you give it to God, you give yourself to God, he is going to bring good out of it. In Genesis, we read about Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer, but his brothers were jealous of him. They despised him. He was the favorite of their father. So one day the brothers connived together. And they took Joseph and they sold him to slave traders who were heading for Egypt. And once they got to Egypt, he was sold into slavery to a man named Potiphar. But being a good, godly man of integrity, Joseph tries to serve his boss the best he can, making the best of a very bad situation. One day, his boss, Potiphar's wife, tried to seduce Joseph. And Joseph said, "I'm not going to sin against God." And enraged, she falsely accuses Joseph of rape and has him thrown into prison. Joseph does what's right. And for what? He's thrown into a dungeon and he's left there to rot. But God had Joseph exactly where he wanted him to be. He met another prisoner who'd result in Joseph eventually being raised up over time to being the second most powerful man in Egypt, which was the most powerful nation in the world at the time. God used Joseph to save not one but two nations from total famine, both Egypt and Israel. Because of his leadership, God had a plan in the midst of all of that bad. Years later, Joseph in an encounter with his brothers who had sold him out decades earlier says, they intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good. They intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good. There may have been people in your life who intended to hurt you emotionally or verbally or physically. They meant it for bad, but God meant it for good, and He brings good out of evil. He can turn it around if you'll give Him the pieces. I've mentioned this before. We listen to Unshackled on the radio. It's on the local radio station. I can't think of the name, the letters now, but every night from, what was that? Yeah, WRVM. Okay. From Monday through Saturday at 9 o'clock, Unshackled is on. And just about every time, it's about somebody that God redeems out of a horrible situation and uses for His glory and their good. He can turn it around if you'll give Him the pieces. The fourth way you can help other people as a result of your pain is share how Jesus gave you hope to change. Jesus gives you the hope and the power to change. Now, everybody needs hope. Many people will complain, my life is out of control, or my finances, or my kids, or whatever. Others sound off and they say, I just can't seem to change. I can't seem to change myself or my spouse or my kids or my situation or whatever. Both of these statements reveal hopelessness. Everybody needs hope to cope. You can't cope without hope. Sometimes, though, life just kicks the hope out of you and you feel hopeless about your marriage or about your future, or your finances or your health or whatever. Where do you find the hope that you need? One of the best places to get genuine, solid hope is for someone who's been through what you're going through now. Someone who's already been through it and has found help from God. And as a result of their sharing with you and their encouraging you, you think, maybe God could help me too through my situation. That's why God wants us to give hope to other people. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. What does God give us the power to do? He gives us the power to let go of the past and to start over. He gives us the power to keep going when we feel like giving up. He gives us the power to forgive and grow and change. God gives us the power to use our hurts to help other people. Many changed lives and saved marriages and awesome friendships have occurred when people put their trust in the power of God. Regardless of the pain and the problems you're facing in your life, there is hope for you. There really is. Where do you get that kind of hope? You get it from God. Psalm 91:15 says, when you call on me, I will answer you. I will be with you when you are in trouble. I will save you and honor you. What an amazing promise. In effect, God says, when you call me, I'll pick up the phone. Let me be honest with you. The mess that you're in right now, you didn't get in it overnight. Jesus did not say this would be easy, but He did say, I will be with you. I will be with you. The bad patterns you've developed have usually grown over a long period of time. If you're habitually a worrier or controlling or manipulative, or if you're resentful or jealous or envious, regardless of what it is, you got there over a long period of time. But God will be with you in the process to help you overcome these problems. Maybe you're going through tough times right now, but you're afraid to even start this recovery process. Courage is doing the thing that you fear the most. And yes, it's scary to face your own faults and failures and frustrations and fears. It's scary, but you're not alone. You have a church family here who will be with you. And even more so, God says, I will be with you. I'm going to walk you through the process. You can either focus on your fear, or you can focus on the freedom that you're going to have when you get to the other side. The joy, the peace, the difference it's going to make. You will be changed. You won't be the same man or woman. You will be different because Jesus Christ is in the life-changing business. You've got to be willing to work through your fear. God says, I will be with you. As we close, let me ask you a few very personal questions. First of all, has God been trying to get your attention? Has God been trying to get your attention? Maybe through some difficulty that you've faced. Then will you trust God to bring good out of the bad in your life? Will you trust God to bring the good out of the bad in your life? And then will you trust His power to make changes that you have been unable to make? Trust His power to make changes that you've been unable to make. And then will you allow God to use your mistakes, to use you to help other people? And then finally, will you face your fear and begin the steps to become whole and healthy again? To learn to depend on God, to obey His word, to realize that you need other people to get better. Let me encourage you to pray this. It'll be up on the screen. You can pray right along with me in your heart. Dear God, thank you for loving me enough to get my attention. Bring good out of the bad in my life. Help me to learn what I need to learn and to totally depend on you. I want to follow your instructions found in your word, the Bible. I want to become all that you made me to be. And I want you to use me to help other people. Please give me hope when I feel hopeless and the power I need to change. I'm willing to follow you from here on. Help me to be honest about my faults and my fears and my frustrations and my failures. Use me to encourage other people. And most of all, I thank you that you will always be with me. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And dear Father, I've no doubt that there are people here right now who are in a lot of pain. Thank you for bringing them here today. Help us all to realize that you are with us. Thank you for loving us enough to get our attention. Bring good out of the bad in our lives. Help us to learn the lessons we need to learn. Help us to learn to totally depend on you, to follow your word, your instructions to become all that you made us to become. And use us to help other people. Thank you that you will always be with us. I want to follow you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.